Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. We are really sorry for the delay in this show, but there was some kind of technological screw-up. So hopefully for all of our people listening, you stayed with us. And for those who aren't listening live, you can come back and listen to the show anytime so you won't even know the difference. But good evening and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show, the hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-host is Misty Hall, and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So good evening, Misty. How are you?
Good evening, Bonnie. I'm doing great. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good after finally waiting online here to get through to our show. But we welcome all our listeners, and we have a very special guest with us tonight, Dr. Lauren Olson. And if anyone has questions, feel free to call into our show. And Dr. Olson is going to talk about his book called Finally Out. Our caller number is area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that one more time. It's area code 646-716-4893. So, welcome, Dr. Olson. Thank you so much for, you know, coming on our show.
Thanks, Bonnie and Miss Gay. I appreciate you asking me to come.
Yes, and I'm so excited about your book. It's called Finally Out, Letting Go of Living Straight. And it's a psychiatrist's own story. And I was very lucky to get a copy of your book. And I must say that it has been really a wonderful confirmation and enlightening experience for me to read about your life. And I was very excited that you were willing to come on our show and talk to our women and men who are listening, because we do have a lot of gay men who listen to our show who really need the kind of encouragement that you have in your, you know, in your book, which is available, of course, on Amazon.com. What's the best way to get your book? Because we'll announce that again later.
It's on Amazon, and it's available through Barnes & Noble now, too. So okay. It can be ordered that way. And then I have a website. It's called Finally Out Book, all one word, .com, and you can find the publisher there, too.
Okay, so we'll announce that again before you leave. And before we take any calls, we just want to let our, you know, callers know that we would like to talk a little bit with Dr. Olson. And maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about your own personal story.
Well, I really began to question my sexuality when I was in my about mid-30s. And prior to that time, I really was blinded to the whole thought that I might be gay. And then through a series of events that occurred over the next 5 years or so, it became obvious that I couldn't deny it any longer. And at that point, began the process of coming out.
Well, let's try to go back a little further than that. First of all, you were married, correct?
Yes, I was. I was married for a period of 18 years. I have two children and six grandchildren.
Wow.
And, yeah.
And
we had a...
You're from the Midwest, though, right?
Yeah, I was born in Nebraska in a very small rural town there. I'm 68, so I was born and raised during the 50s when there was a lot going on in terms of McCarthyism and the anti-communism and anti-homosexuality efforts. And really had no information about homosexuality at all, even until I got into medical school. And I remember the first time reading through the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual and seeing pathological deviancy as the diagnosis for homosexuality. And I knew I wasn't deviant. That couldn't be me. And then gradually things changed over a period of time. And
That's already when you were in medical school. But let's say prior to that, because you must have been in your 20s in medical school.
Yes,
it was. Did you ever have attractions to men sexually?
Um, as adolescents, and it, you know, what's one thing that's hard for me to understand is sort of what normal adolescent sexual behavior is in terms of, because people don't talk about, you know, same-sex activity when they were kids, but I know that there were a lot of us who did, and then it seemed like at age 13 or 14, everybody stopped, and nobody talked about what had happened. Nobody seemed very interested in it anymore, and so I guess I thought it was time to put it away and move on. But, you know, after I sort of knew that I was gay, then a lot of things that had happened during that period of time began to make more sense to me at the time, more sense than they did at the time I was living it. For example, there was, of course, a huge fascination with women's breasts when I was about 13, and I didn't get it. You know, I heard people talking about it, and it just didn't stir up the kind of feelings in me that I assumed that the other guys were having. I dated during high school and college and med school, but all the time I kind of felt like I didn't know the rules. And I had lost my father when I was 3, and so I used that as my explanation for kind of a fractured sense of masculinity, and attributed my lack of social skills with women and some of this to just growing up without that kind of a role model in my immediate family. And later, of course, discovered that that wasn't the explanation at all, but it served me in the way to hide from it and to not recognize the attractions that I might have had.
Now, when you met your wife, how old were you?
I was 25. She was 23.
Okay. And did you feel a physical attraction to her?
Oh, yes. Yes. You know, again, it's difficult to say whether or not mine was the same as everybody else. But as I was writing finally out, I went up and had a conversation with her, because I was struggling with writing the chapters on sexuality, and I wanted to know how she perceived me during our marriage. And what she said to me was she thought that our sex life was as good as it could be, that we were both sexually inexperienced at the time, and we had no basis for comparing it to anything greater than that. And so neither of us were particularly dissatisfied, and had a pretty meaningful sexual relationship with the kind of the common things, with me wanting more than she did, and that sort of things.
Did you come from a religious background?
Yes, I was raised in a Lutheran tradition, and we both were, so we had a lot of the same values about family and married life and commitment, and so we had a lot in common in those ways too.
And I think that, you know, putting it back in perspective, you know, we're going back to when, the 1970s, when you were married?
That's when I was married.
Right. So back, you know, the early 70s, did you get married?
Actually, it was 1968.
Okay, so 1968. And, you know, certainly in the Midwest, you know, I'm sure that the hippie revolution hadn't caught on yet exactly.
No, that was 68 was the year of Stonewall, or 69, I think, was Stonewall. So there wasn't a lot of sort of political agenda yet for gay rights or anything like that at the time. I recently had a conversation with a friend of mine that I graduated from medical school, because many of them didn't know I was gay until I wrote the book. And I said, you know, when we were in med school in Omaha in 65 through 68, were there gay bars there? Were there any people in our class going to those bars? And he said he'd never heard of them. And so there didn't seem to be any discussion among most of my class about, and I presume there were gay bars or places where people were meeting, but it wasn't common knowledge or commonly discussed among my class at all.
It would kind of be like that movie Brokeback Mountain, you know, that's
exactly
a place somewhere in the Midwest where you really couldn't openly be gay.
Yeah. And,
that
was exactly
that was an option.
Yeah, that was that was exactly it. That was quite a profound movie for me because it just was so typical of my own experience. And you know, when I was in elementary school, we always, frankly, we were bullying kids who were sissies, and I was in on that as well. And we didn't talk about gay or homosexuality or anything else, but sissy was the thing you didn't want to be called. And and yet we picked on certain people and labeled them in that way. So it was the same kind of behavior, but just from a different mindset, I think, in terms of what it all meant.
And also I think that maybe you could talk a little bit about this as far as, you know, when you were growing up through your experiences. I think a lot of gay men had the same feelings that, you know, they any kind of gays that were portrayed on television, like Milton Berle dressing up like a woman, or someone who was swishy and someone who was effeminate, you know, that's how gay was portrayed. And if a man wasn't effeminate, then he definitely said, that's not me.
That's exactly right. And I was just talking to someone this weekend about Liberace and when he was on television. And, you know, what I remember about that were sort of snickers and people hiding behind their hand laughing. But nobody really came out and said, you know, this has to do with men having sex with men. You know, it was always just that gender nonconforming behavior, which was the focus of the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that you've been doing this for so many years, as far as working with other people going through these issues and having gone through it yourself, maybe you could just give a little insight to women about the possibilities for change of for their husbands.
Well, I'm not optimistic that men can change once they have really given in to their attractions. Some men can perhaps confine it a little more than others, but to try and say that you've explored homosexuality to any degree and then go back to completely heterosexual life is just very unlikely, if not impossible, to happen. Typically, men move more and more in the direction of self-defining as homosexual or gay.
I have a lot of women who write me and ask this question, Dr. Olson, so maybe you can give us your opinion. They tell me that their husbands and they have a discussion and that their husbands agree that the marriage is very important to them. So their husbands will now abstain for the rest of their lives and never have any kind of sexual encounters with other men.
Mm-hmm.
What is the likelihood of that happening over a period of 30 years, let's say?
I think it's pretty slim that it would ever happen. You know, I think many times the men who make those kinds of promises and commitments honestly attempt
believe
to.
Believe it at the time, right?
Yeah, they really, they do.
They
I
mean
it. Middle-aged men who come out don't want to be gay. You know, they didn't want to choose that as something to be because there's a lot of sacrifices and losses that go along with making that transition. So most of them, I think, who make that commitment are really making an honest commitment but that they want to keep and they want to maintain the marriage and they see how potentially devastating the losses are going to be both in personal life and in their social life, professionally. And so they really, I think, do make serious commitments. Of course, what happens, I think, then is that if the wife is betrayed again and again, then she loses all trust in the relationship and doesn't take
Now, Dr. Olson, I hate to tell you this, but our technology is now screwing us up once again. We're going to be cut off the show. But
okay.
Would you be willing to come back again?
yeah,
like
sure.
Like in the next week or two so we can really resume this and do it the right way?
Okay, yeah.
All right, so everybody listening, I apologize terribly, but there is a technical problem with the show. We have 38 seconds remaining. But it was really a wonderful few moments that we had to chat with you. And Dr. Olson wants to commit himself now to come back. And,
I would be happy to do that.
I'll give you a call in the next day or two, and we'll see if we can set it up for the next week or two if you're available.
Okay, thanks, Bonnie.
All right. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
And to all our listeners, I'm really sorry we didn't get you in on the questions, but we will, and we promise next time. So, Misty, have
yes.
a wonderful night, and next week, hopefully, this aggravation will be resolved.
It will. It'll all be better. Good night, and love
all
you all.
Love you all, and thank you. We'll have
good
you
night.
Back soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.